Good evening. In a little bit of time, things still don't get easy. The reality is I feel very inadequate, but my hope and my confidence is not in me. It's in a faithful God that I've seen time and time again to prove Himself faithful to me and to others. So it's with His help tonight we stand before you. By the help of the Lord, we want to talk a little bit tonight about investments. In a natural sense, people trade their time, their mental energy, their emotion, their sweat, their tears, in exchange for some paper that has a myth about it. We call it money. And it's a pretty good motivator for a lot of different things. And you find as people go along in life in a natural sense, they realize as they grow up that in order to do things, you need money. Everything costs. And so you start working. And you get excited, you get a couple paychecks, and start buying a few things that you like, things that maybe mom and dad didn't want to afford or couldn't afford, or maybe something you just had your eye on for a while. And so you go out and you make the purchase. And that can go on for years, and after a while, sometimes if you don't enjoy your work, it just becomes a job. You're just over broke. And it just becomes something that you have to do. And then people start to look at the end of the road and they start to think about, well, there's going to come a day where I don't want to work. I want to be able to retire. And so there is a whole industry that has sprung up, and all they do is help you manage your finances and help you reach that goal, that you might get to the place where you don't have to work. That you've saved up enough, you've invested enough, and it has performed well, and so now you can sit back and enjoy the interest and let your money work for you. Well, in a natural sense, that's the idea, is to lay up treasure and to get a hold of some things and set them aside so that there's a time of rest. Well, we're not here to talk about natural things. We get enough of that in our daily life. The reality is, we're all going to die one day. Every single one of us will stand face to face with God Almighty. And we're going to look Him in the eye. And He is going to pull out whatever it is, whether it's a filing cabinet, a notebook, or if it's just all from memory. He's perfectly capable. But the Word teaches that every idle word that a man speaks, he'll give an account of. The way that we handled our time, the way that we handled the assets that have been entrusted to us, there's going to be a day of reconciling. There's going to be a day when the Lord is going to look over His record and we'll stand there before Him and He'll say, okay, I have entrusted you with this and with this. I've blessed you with this kind of personality. I've given you this kind of mind. I've given you these types of finances. I've given you this amount of ability in this area or that area. And we all know our own areas where we've been blessed of the Lord. But we're going to give an account of how we handle those matters. I won't take the time to read it tonight. Tonight's going to be one of those messages going to give you a lot to think about. And hopefully you go home and spend some time studying and reading. But if you recall, in the 25th chapter of Matthew, there is a parable that talks about talents. It's money. It's not ability, it's not natural talents there, but it's talking about money. And God bestowed upon these servants some abilities, and He gave them some money and some finances. And the expectation we find is in the last man that went and hid his talent. Because he said to the Lord, he says, I went and hid your talent because I knew you were an austere man and you reaped where you sowed not. And you know, in that parable, God did not refute that man's testimony of him. He didn't deny it. That tells me that God has an expectation of us. He has an expectation of the things that He has blessed us with, and the time and the talents and the ability and the finances. We have a responsibility to be cognizant of how we are investing what God has so richly blessed us with. Sometimes we allow the devil to beat us over the head. And we get to a place where we feel so unworthy, beyond what God expects. When it comes to salvation, when it comes to the miraculous gift of Jesus Christ paying for our sin, none of us are worthy. Oh, but when we're a blood-washed child of God, we're adopted. Our name has been blotted out of that book of death and has been written by the very hand of Jesus Christ in the book of life. There is a worthiness now. Not because of who we are, not because of what we've done, but because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we have a worth, and the devil endeavors to take that away from us. He endeavors to tell us that we don't have anything, we don't have any abilities, we don't have any money, I only have just a little tiny bit. The apostles thought that one time. They said, how are we going to feed all these people? Jesus said, make them sit down. And one little boy was willing to give what he had. And God, in His divine ability, met the need of every man, woman, and child that was present. The next time the enemy wants to tell you, you have nothing to invest. The next time the enemy wants to beat you up and drag you off into a corner and warp your mind with the idea and the mindset that you have no value, you remind him that you have a little bit. And you have a God that knows how to multiply beyond your ability, beyond what you can even ask or think, the Word teaches. Investments. As was mentioned here tonight, and the Scripture says, it is appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. We will all stand before God, and there is no middle ground. It's heaven or hell. All or nothing, one way or the other. And you know what the beauty of it is? The choice is yours. Jesus broke the power of the enemy, and God given it through Him to us the ability to choose life or death, blessing or curse. Scripture teaches in the 6th chapter of Matthew that we're not to worry about things here. Easier said than done. I find the older you get, the more responsibilities that you have and the things that you look after, it's real easy for the enemy to use that to cause stress and worry in your life. Oh, but there is a blessed pavilion in that secret closet of prayer. You know, that's an investment. When we talk about investments, there are lots of different ways that we invest. And one of the most crucial ways to invest is to exercise faith in God. And when things come into your life, and when the enemy wants to paint a dark picture, when the people around you aren't as supportive as you think they ought to be, or when the people of the world are so contrary and so trying and so frustrating, it's time to invest. It's time to exercise the faith that has been given to us and that we begin to seek God in that very manner. And in that moment, and in that time, and Lord, I'm starting to feel these emotions. And I know they're not the right ones. I'm starting to have a certain thing well up within me. Lord, help me to choose where to invest my emotion. See, we can invest it in anger and wrath. or we can invest it in forgiveness. The beauty is we have a choice. Just as it is with our salvation, so too it is in our daily living, that we are given every day multiple opportunities to decide where are we going to invest. Because as I started to mention in the 6th chapter of Matthew, when Jesus said, don't worry about what you'll eat or what you'll drink or what you'll wear or even where you're going to live. Oh, he says, look at nature. God takes care of all of it. Then he says, you realize you're worth more than that sparrow? And then he began to give the instruction that we all need to take the most earnest heed to, and that is that we lay up treasures in heaven where they can't be stolen, where the stock market can't crash and you lose it all. You see, the treasures that we lay up in heaven, God protects. And God looks after. And those are going to be things that are going to pay off for us when we get to the other side. But we're going to have to make some choices here. We're going to have to make some decisions on a daily basis. This is why the psalmist said, Lord, teach me to number my days and to apply my heart unto wisdom. What kind of wisdom was he talking about as he went about his life, that he'd realize that this isn't just the happenstance of life? One of my least favorite sayings is, life happens. No, it doesn't. God is sovereign. God is in control. My life is not an accident. Your life is not an accident. The daily events of life are not an accident. They are an opportunity to invest. To invest in a sure thing. When it comes to investments, you have to exercise patience. There are lots of little get-rich-quick schemes. I could probably name 15 of them right now. And as the old saying goes, if it seems too good to be true, it is. But yet people still fall for it. There's something within man that wants to be a little lazy, wants to think they're smarter than the next guy, and everybody else missed this, but I figured it out. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to be the guy that's the instant whatever. Word teaches, in your patience, possess ye your souls. When it comes to investing, there needs to be a patience on our behalf. There needs to be a patience that is rooted and grounded in faith. In a natural sense, there were some things that happened back in 2007 and 2008. And the economy within the U.S. went into the tank. And you can debate all the different reasons and everything else. That doesn't matter. But I'm going to tell you some of the things that I noticed. I started to see people that were a little bit older that had had a lot invested, and they started losing tens of thousands of dollars every month in their investments, things that were supposed to be for the retirement. And you see people start to panic, and they just want to sell everything and cash out. Well, you know what? If they had been a little bit patient, and if they had wrote it out and just sat tight, today they would be better off now than they were back then. The market had recovered. Now, there was no guarantee at the time that the market was going to recover the way it had. But when it comes to spiritual things, and when it comes to investing in God, can you find a more sure investment? You think about in God's Word. There is so much in the Word of God, so much instruction, so much correction, so much doctrine and everything else. But you know what else is in there? Real life experiences. Real people living real lives, facing real pressure. Just like us. And there is a real God that is faithful to them century over century over century. We can read all through the Word of God and time again. It doesn't matter the place. It doesn't matter the person. Male, female, Jew, Greek, Gentile. It doesn't matter. He is yet the same God. And He has been faithful time and time again. Since the very beginning of time when Adam and Eve were first formed, God was there on day one. And you know what? He's going to be there on day the end. From beginning to end, He has always existed and will always exist. And He will always be faithful. And so it is to us when we face the things of life and the circumstances of life. And we go on and we live our lives and there's going to be choices given to us on a daily basis. There is going to be crisis in your life. What are you going to invest in? Will we succumb to fear? I don't know if the Lord can handle this one. We'd never say that consciously. That's what the devil whispers in our ear. We need to hold down. Be patient. Invest in God. Trust what His Word says. Seek the counsel of the Lord. These are actions of investment. In a natural sense, you have to write a check or you have to give a credit card or you have to hand cash to somebody and say, buy that particular stock because I believe it's going to go up. You got to invest your faith. You got to invest your time. And sometimes it does involve your money. When it comes to doing the things of the God, the work of the Lord is not cheap. There are costs associated with it. And sometimes you have to put yourself out. But I was going to use this for... What's the Lord calling for? Can you outgive God? We all know the answer to that. Here? What about here? Lord, help us to get a hold of it. There are investments for us to make. When you get down on your knees because you heard of someone has a need and you pray, that's an investment in God's bank. That's an act of faith that God looks down and smiles upon. Regardless of whether He answers it according to how you pray, it doesn't matter. The fact that you're willing to bend the knee and you're willing to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and that you're willing to confess that God is King of Kings and that He is Master of the universe and you look to Him for guidance, you look to Him for help. You've made an investment in your future. You know, when it comes to investments, we need to invest in others. It's so easy to focus on ourselves. When I think about retirement, to be honest, I don't think about other folks. Well, except my parents. But I start looking at that from a natural sense, being able to store up and be prudent with the finances the Lord has given in hopes that there can come a day where maybe I'm not stuck and attached to that. Maybe I'll do something else. It's real easy to get focused on yourself. But that's not what God's designed. God has designed a blessed gift called unity. And that unity is built up and strengthened by investing in one another. I want to get a scripture here in Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter. In the first verse, it says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." Another place, Romans 14 and 19. Going with this. It says, let us therefore follow after things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another. That's God's instruction to you and I. Invest in somebody else. When we see our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we're able to be in one another's company, a smile, a handshake, a pat on the back, genuine interest in what's going on in their life, follow up. How many times have you don't have to raise your hand, but how many times have you shared with someone a prayer request and you never heard back from them? And you wondered if they even really prayed about it. You know what we could do differently? We could follow up. Try it sometime. Maybe you won't do it every time, but pick a time. Exercise yourself in the things of the Lord. Tell them, Lord, I wish to invest in this area. The next time I have a conversation with someone and I tell them I'm going to pray, I'm going to remember what they said. If I have to write it down or get out my phone to remind myself. And then set a reminder in your calendar to get a hold of them at a later time and find out how it went. Cast your bread upon the waters. One of the greatest pieces of wisdom I ever heard come across this very pulpit came from Brother Jerry Milo many years ago when he talked about making friends with saints' children. Because sometimes there comes a time in a child's life where maybe there is a strain on the relationship between mom and dad. And how important it is for a saint of God to be there. To be that listening board, and to be the one to offer the same sound, godly advice to that child that might be in a vulnerable place. Lord, help us to be friendly people. Lord, help us to befriend the saints' children, to cause them to know that I'm here for you, that I genuinely care about you, not because I have to. No book, chapter, and verse that says you have to. This is an act of love. This is what it means when the Scripture talks about a faith that worketh by love. I'm going above and beyond the have to. We're now into the realm that I want to. I'm investing in God's church. I'm investing in God's body because I have a faith to believe that I can put within them the things of God that He has given me, and it will return to me after many days. If I could just get real personal here. Not long after I heard that advice from Brother Milo, I set out to make it a part of my life. And for the sake of, hopefully I don't embarrass, but I actively sought out to be friendly with all my cousins' children. Because I love them. I care about them. I want to see them prosper in the things of the Lord. And I'll never forget seeing that bread return unto me many times over. One particular instance that brought me to tears was to see my daughter talking about and sharing the things that her Sunday school teacher had shared with her about the things of the Lord. Her Sunday school teacher, who I had invested in, and now it returned unto me. This is the beauty of God's church. This is the beauty of God's body. That we can invest in one another. I implore us, seek opportunity. It's so easy to get consumed with ourselves, our immediate family, our immediate needs, and our immediate concerns. But sometimes we got to look beyond. We got to invest in God's people. Invest in one another. It's what brings that unity. It's what strengthens us. It's what binds us together. It's what shows the very glory of God. When people look on and see us, I want them to see more than a long-sleeved group of people. I want them to see the glory of God resting in this place. And when they look, they can say, not only are they holy people, but they're nice. They shouldn't be mutually exclusive. The holiness of God brings conviction. And it'll do its job. But help us to invest in others. To build them up. Who knows who the next Sunday school teacher is going to be, or the next preacher, or the next exhorter, the next missionary, the next cook, the next... We fill in the blank with whatever. There's so many different ways in which people can serve the Lord and serve the body. You never know who's next. Maybe your investment in them is going to get them to that place. You know, sometimes people are old. You know what battle they face? They face a lot of the same battles you do. But they got some that are unique. Like being tired. Like feeling like they don't have as much purpose. You know, as a young person, you can invest in them. You can give them a purpose. It's real easy. Ask a question. You're investing in them. You as a young person, you're facing some things, right? Find somebody. Say, hey, brother, sister, so-and-so. Can I ask you a question? Lately, I've been struggling with... Have you ever faced that? Did you ever have to deal with that? What did the Lord show you? How did He help you get through it? Too many times we want to run, play, and do things. And we deal and struggle with things. Some of the greatest lessons I've ever learned in my life were because of I avoided the experience altogether because I relied upon the experience of somebody else. And I listened to them talk and I asked and I saw. And I thought, that's wise. And I avoided the situation altogether because of the experience of somebody else who had been through it. See, young folks can invest too. I remember when I used to work at the grocery store in the retirement community, and I would spend my break sitting out there talking with the locals. All these people that were 70, 80, 90 years old. And I asked a lot of questions. So I wanted to learn. They'd been through some things. They'd seen some things. See, we thought investing was always me putting into somebody else. But you know, sometimes investing is allowing somebody else to exercise their gift. To share their testimony. Which leads me to another point. You realize that when you testify, whether it's at service or not, you're investing in other people's lives. Makes it hard to hold it back, doesn't it? When you think of it like that. Don't want to cheat somebody out of that. Goes on here, it says, give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Seven is a number of completion, eight is a number of completed man. What that scripture is saying there, that when it comes to the things that God has blessed us with, we bless others. Even when we think we don't have enough, give it anyway. Till the very end, till it's fully completed. Because God will return unto you. It will come back to you in a manifold of ways. There's a scripture that says, Galatians 6 and 8, we'll turn and read. It says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting." This is talking about investment again. Our choice. Each day we've got a decision to make. Too many times we think in our mind, well, I made the choice to get saved, or I made the choice to be sanctified. We got a choice every day. Every day sin lieth at the door and its desire is for you. That roaring lion called the devil walks about seeking whom he may devour. He is looking for opportunity on a daily basis wherewith he might snare us. We got to be careful where we invest. You think about all the things that God has blessed you with. Where do you spend it? How do you spend it? I imagine you're like me. It makes you want to pray that prayer. Lord, teach me to number my days and to apply my heart unto your wisdom, that I might know how to pass the sojourning of my time here and realize that there is yet a better destination waiting for me, and there are things that I can do here to prepare that place and make it even better. Because the Scripture says, I can store up treasure on that side. Which leads me to the most important investment. And that's in yourself. You see, you can't love anybody else until you love yourself. And you can't even love yourself until you realize that God loves you. And you begin to love Him because He is the source of love. And the Scripture teaches, why do we love Him? Because He first loved us. How do we know that He loved us? Because while we were yet in sin, Christ died for us. Now I want you to think about this for a moment. While you were a sinner, you had no hope. You had no future. You had no purpose in the kingdom of God. Nothing within you could redeem yourself. And yet Christ still willingly died. He invested in you and He believed in you when no one else would. That's what it means to invest in others. That's what it means when we think about people in the world that are lost. Because we have to invest in them as well. I think often about Saul, who became Paul. There he was, terrorizing the church. Going in, busting into people's houses, throwing them in jail, killing people. He was there watching Stephen, probably had a smile of satisfaction on his face, like, I got this one. That'll show them. And I wonder if somewhere there wasn't a little saint of God, maybe a little child, that looked over and said, I've heard God gave Jesus to save anyone that believes in Him. I wonder what would happen if I prayed for that guy Saul. I wonder if there was somebody around, a saint of God, that was willing to invest in Saul when he looked like a dead loser. You know, when Microsoft, the company, first started, and some of you may have seen this, they got a photo of when they first started and all the different founders, Bill Gates and Steve Ballmer and all those guys, they're there, hippie-looking folks. And the caption says, would you have invested? Well, in hindsight, yeah. They're all billionaires. You know, there was a lady that, it started in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and there was a lady that was a secretary at work there, and they decided to move up to Seattle to continue the company. And the lady stayed in Albuquerque and left the company. And her husband said, "You think we're going to follow that 18-year-old kid up to Seattle? For what?" He didn't see it. He didn't see the potential. That's something God has. The ability to see clearly. That's something that He gives to His children, to you and I, the ability to see. And when we look out and we see people in the world, and some of them seem so lost and hopeless, and why bother? Are you going to step up and invest? Are you going to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ? Well, if you're going to do that, it begins with you investing in you. You can be a nice person. I got a neighbor across the street. Just the other night, I went over there and talked with him. And he used to live across the street, and he's since moved, but he was there visiting the other guy. And he's a pretty rough character. You know, he's the kind of guy that says, I have a God, I believe in God, he's just my God short on cash. And that's his way of thinking. Which I thought was interesting, because I went over there with a business proposition. He told me he fixed lawnmowers. I have three of them in my garage that don't work. I said, if you fix them, we'll split the profit. I didn't even know his need was money. Just something within me said, you need to go over there. I trust the Lord. It's an opportunity to invest. You know, that man began to open up to me. You started to see this hard, rough man. If you saw him on the street, you'd think he's rough. And there he is standing in front of me fighting back tears as he's thinking about some of the things of God. I would love to say he got saved. All I did was invest. I cast my bread upon the water. It's going to return. I have a hope and an expectation that God will do what He says He'll do. Investments that not only pay in eternity, but they pay here. And I don't say this as a boast of myself. I say this as a boast of our God. But for the last 2 years, I had a burden. Some of you know I teach high school, and my old school closed, and I went to a new one, and I pouted for a year and a half before the Lord says, all right, it's enough. It's time to get busy. And so the Lord put a burden on my heart for a couple of young folks, and so I began having a leadership training every Thursday in my classroom during lunch. And really, all we were doing is looking at the Bible and looking at people that were in a position of leadership and what qualities did they exhibit. And we break that down and cause them to understand that and how does that apply to their life in class, out of class, when they're a spouse, you know, they're a husband in the future, you need to be a leader in the home. What is that going to look like according to what we've just read? Well, it expanded a little bit. And you know, I want you to think about this for a moment. My job is to be around teenagers and teach them a subject they usually don't like, unless they're a little weird. Okay, that's my job. And I get a lot of, why do we have to do this? When are we ever going to use this in life? Is this really that important? This is so hard. All day long, it's my job to try and be motivating, entertaining, inspiring, helpful, all these different kinds of things. What do you think I want to do at lunch? Do more work? Be around kids longer? I might enjoy it, but I'm not crazy. I need a break. Sometimes it's, and I think moms will understand this, if they've ever been trapped at home with children, it's just nice to have some adult conversation. And so that's what I like to do during lunch, go have adult conversation. But the Lord gave me a choice. Do I invest or do I just think about what I want? The result was an Asian girl that grew up in a Buddhist home knows and recognizes the voice of our God. The bread will return. We have to put in the time. We have to make the investments. We have to have the expectation that God knows what He's doing. But as I said before, and I've hinted, and I'm going to end with this, we have to invest in ourselves. As I said earlier, you can be a nice person. My neighbor across the street, nice guy. You know, he's just a nice guy and he likes to give. And we've met people like that in the world. But when it's a saint of God and they're giving according to the will of the Lord, and they're giving the things that God has entrusted and blessed them with, there's a far greater impact. I wish I could describe it, but I can't. And if you've ever been on the receiving end, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When a saint of God comes and says, I have a burden, I have something to share, I have something to give and to bless you with, and God comes and anoints that and blesses your soul beyond just a gift. Well, you can't give that kind of gift unless you got it. The greatest investment is in ourselves. That's where it starts. We all have choices to make. We all have decisions on the kind of life that we can live. You know, when you endeavor to live for the Lord, there's going to be times the Lord says, I don't think that's the best choice for you. And your flesh, your inner man really wants to do it. You got a choice to make. Where are you going to invest? There have been some in the Bible that would look at those that were living out in sin and doing whatever they want. It seemed like they're having all kinds of fun. And the Scripture teaches that there is pleasure in sin. There is pleasure in doing whatever you feel like. Don't worry about anything. Let's just have a good time. There's fun in that. But there's also an emptiness that comes. Many a men and women have I watched in my life. I'm one of those people, I watch people, I'm a pattern person, and I sit back and I watch and I study and I see, and I've learned some very valuable lessons in life by watching other people and watching the progression of their life and the choices that they make and the end result of it. I've seen far too many alcoholics crying in their beer. I've seen far too many drug addicts strung out, crying, pleading for help, out of control, no mental faculties, no ability to control themselves. I've witnessed it firsthand with my own eyes. And I think back to the choice that I made. There's a few folks in here who have a pretty good idea of how bad I was. But even they don't know the full extent of it. Most of the folks in here have no idea. But I was a Saul. But some people made an investment. And it pays. Oh, God, does it pay in this world and in the world to come. And I had a choice to make, and I came to a point in my life where I had to decide, where am I going to invest my future? How am I going to invest the things that I have, my mind and my hands and my health and my wealth, all these different things? I've got to decide where I'm going to invest them. And it came to the place where I, like Joshua, decided for me and my house, we're serving God. I've invested, I've cast my lot, and I've invested in the kingdom of God and in the precious gift of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you here tonight, And this isn't cliche. This isn't, if you know one thing about me, it's a blessing and a curse because I say what I'm really feeling. And I'm not one to say something because it sounds nice or that's the right thing to say. I'm going to tell you from the depths of my heart, as a man who lived in sin in a lot of different things and who made a purpose change and has never looked back, I don't regret my investment. I don't regret one thing about living for God. I don't regret one thing about the choices that He gives me to make on a daily basis. And even though sometimes they go contrary maybe to what my flesh might want, I still exercise faith in Him because I believe the God of this Bible that has been faithful to men and women throughout thousands of years will be yet faithful to me. And I believe that there is an expected end that He has prepared for me that far exceeds anything that my mind can see. Anything that my mind can comprehend. And as I look out at the world, and I'm not going to be naive and say that I don't. I look out at the world, I see people that are in sin, and I look at the things that they do and the things that they enjoy, and I ask myself, is it worth it? Have I made the right choice? And you know what the answer is over and over and over again? Yes. You know how it's confirmed? I look at my children sometimes, come home, find them reading the Word, singing gospel songs, making little things for other kids. I see my daughter teaching the neighbor kids Sunday school out on a Tuesday, playing church in the backyard with the neighbor kids. Why? Because that's what her Sunday school teacher did with her. And I say, oh yeah, I've made the right choice. When you have godly children that love the Lord, endeavor to serve Him, and a godly companion, and a godly home that endeavors to love God and trust Him with their lives, there's nothing better. Nothing better than to come home and there's no screaming and shouting. There's no turmoil and unrest. Just to come home. And even if there are problems, we can all sit down and we can talk about it and we can take it to the Lord and we know that God is going to do something to fix it. And there's real peace. Then I know I've made the right choice. I've made the right investment because God, again and again, has proven Himself faithful. I don't want you to think that our home is without challenge. We face things. We're real people. We struggle. But at the end of the day, we know we all love each other. And we know God loves us. And we know that that is where our investment is. And that if things get dark and things get bleak, and if I could say it this way, if the economic forecast looks like the bottom's going to fall out and you're going to lose everything, invest more. Buy it when it's cheap because it's going to finish high. God always finishes on top. No matter how bleak the enemy might make it look. When you face some conflict in your lives, invest more. Oh, the tendency is to want to pull away, to run away. Protect what you have. Panic, fear. Uh-oh, we're going to lose it all. Let me just get what little bit I have. Now it's time to invest. It's time to start to put things in. God has blessed you with plenty. You're not going to lose it all. Even if you did, He's got more. But you're not going to lose it. He's able to keep it. What does that song say? I am persuaded that He is able to keep it against that day. You know, at school, I teach math, and I try as much as I can to make it applicable to real life. And so when we talk about exponents and exponential equations, we always talk about how easy it is to be a millionaire. $75 a month, 12% interest. Start when you're 18, you're 65, you're there. Piece of cake. Math shows it. And I talk to kids all about that, and we get a little bit more detail and everything else. And, you know, they get excited about money. I'm like, okay, I got a hook at least for one day. And so we talk about those kinds of things. And you know what? I always know when they got the message. You know how I know they got the message? Because somebody would hang around that don't normally pay attention, doesn't normally do their homework, didn't normally do very well on tests, and definitely isn't the kind to hang around after the bell rings. And they wait till everybody's gone, and they come up and say, "Mr. Ello, about that investment thing you were talking about, how do I do that?" You got to be 18. Well, there's a few things you can do. That's how I know they got the message. You got a choice tonight. God has blessed you with a great deal. Maybe you haven't opened up your investment account. I'm going to tell you right now, if you understand what's being said, and you understand the blessings of God, and you understand that I can live for the Lord and look at other people and have lots of choices, and I can stand here and tell you I don't regret a single one, you can open up your own account. Simple faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, I believe you sent your Son to die for me. Lord, I believe that you have the best possible life planned out for me. You can start your account before you leave. Maybe you haven't invested in folks like you should have. I implore you. Ask the Lord to show you how. Seeking for opportunity. Whether they be saved or unsaved doesn't matter. God's interested in both. But we've been given so much. Brother Rod mentioned the other night, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Salvation is a gift. Jesus said, freely you have been given, freely you have received, freely give. There's a lot contained in salvation. Now, we can't go and save people of their sins. Oh, but we could bless their soul. We can invest in their life. We can make a Saul become a Paul with God's help. All he needs is your faith, your willingness, your desire to set yourself aside. Don't sow to your flesh. Sow to the Spirit. And we'll all reap life everlasting. Trust the Lord encourage you tonight.